working every day at my metal lathe. I'm a damn good machinist. I love my trade, but there's only one thing that makes it hard to take. The guy next to me, he's feeling mighty mean. He's wishing that I weren't here. And what he's got planned is to get me in the back room and show me what a woman's really good for. Hey, buddy, what you're looking at now is a woman's anger. Boy, what you're seeing right here is a woman's pride. If you had half a lick of sense, you'd realize that you could learn from me. Turn your head around, you'd be a better man. Change what you might be. It's 3:30, I'm heading for a beer just to wash down the dust and violence. There's a neighborhood place where they know my face. I always pay my way, so I'm welcome. A man drinking freely, staring at me. Had the bartender set me up around. And he thinks with a laugh and a 50-cent draft he can buy himself a union woman. Hey, buddy, what you're looking at now is a woman's anger. Boy, what you're seeing right here is a woman's pride. If you had half a lick of sense, you'd realize you could learn from me. Turn your head around, you'd be a better man. What you might be. The boss calls me friend, always claims how he had to stick his neck out to get me this job. But when the boys come around to take a look at this place, he always brings them by and then he shows me off. The papers came through, I'm a level 2 apprentice, only 2 years to go. Instead of shaking my hand, he just slapped me on the ass, saying, baby, do you think you're gonna make it? Hey, buddy, what you're looking at now is a woman's anger. Boy, what you're seeing right here is a woman's pride. If you had half a lick of sense, you'd realize you could learn from me. Turn your head around, you'd be a better man and change what you might be. If you had half a lick of sense, you'd realize you could learn from me. Buddy, what you're looking at now is a woman's anger.
And that was A Woman's Anger, again, from Steppin' Out by, I guess that was sung by Martha Leader in this Charlie King and Martha Leader album. And now, I had actually neglected the fact that in 2 days there is a shitty council meeting in Santa Cruz. I should say a bunch of people are meeting behind closed doors in their homes, actually, in spite of the fact that the governor has lifted and allows for non-Zoom meetings, although he also allows municipalities and other boards to continue meeting in this constricted, inaccessible way. So the city council, of course, preferring to be inaccessible here in Santa Cruz, continues to do that, and of course continues to ignore going to the civic auditorium where they could hold even distanced meetings for those who aren't vaccinated or worried about such things one way or the other. She, Donna Myers, the mayor, doesn't want to do that. Of course, she does show up and wanders about the Juneteenth celebrations, as do these other politicians who showed up at the Saturday rally. And I guess we'll be showing up today. If you're interested, you can go down to the shitty council, and I should say I guess it's the city hall where the shitty council should be meeting, but it isn't on Tuesday. But on Sunday, today, I guess it's the 20th, if you are listening to this on the day it's supposed to be played, they're having another Juneteenth celebration. And it's going to be more fol-de-rol, I believe. Unless I'm mistaken in that. I think that, although 2 days back-to-back, I guess the Juneteenth in the London Nelson Park, now renamed for the actual guy whose financial contribution got the whole London Nelson Center set up. That is has been held historically as an African-American celebration, and I guess they wanted, the city bureaucrats wanted to sort of zero in on and piggyback on that one, and then they also doing their own self-congratulation, you know, the Black Lives Matter slogan written in the street between the library and the City Hall, but no Black Lives Matter actions being taken in Santa Cruz that might actually make some real difference in terms of police department procedures, which I've discussed over the last year. It have to do with such things as accessibility and transparency and changing use of force and recording so that people can actually get the documents that are the police department is shielding, which have to do with how they operate, who they stop, what the race breakdown is of people who stop. You don't get any of this. And Chief Mills, however, instead gives you a beaming smile, and he takes a knee with the Uncle Tom council member Justin Cummings instead as a substitute for any real action. That's been my view, and I think not just my view, but the question really is whether it's your view, not whether it's my view. Anyway, if you look at the city council agenda, you find a number of things. First of all, the city council's closed session, which has a number of items on it, which of course I don't have, and that is partially my negligence, but partially probably city council, either a combination of malfeasance and awkwardness. I don't know how you'd put it. They aren't sending out emailed responses to me anymore, and they pointed out by phone they couldn't do it because they were having trouble with their equipment. That was what I heard last time, and I couldn't get the Eric Price claim against the city. And of course, the claims against the city are still no longer, are still unavailable on the public agenda that's put out online, except you get a vague staff description, a one-line staff description of the agendas. But there are several of them that indicate they either are directly connected with the police department, or they are may well be connected with the police department. So if you skip ahead to the actual 11 a.m. afternoon session, I guess it's now the late morning session of the city council that extends through the afternoon now. It's the earliest time I've heard recently that the council has actually begun an afternoon session so early, instead of holding additional meetings at times when people are likely to be able to, well, I guess they can't attend anyway, so that's sort of a secondary. But the if you go to the consent agenda, which has 39 items on it, that's the longest consent agenda I've seen in quite a while, you'll find item 23 of the consent agenda has what's called liability claims, and that's actually what they are considering in the closed agenda. That's where you find out if there's possibly any people who are standing up against police misconduct or claiming that is what's happening. What you find on that particular agenda item is there are three items. One is by Jesse Stephen Smith asking for $10,000, but it's not necessarily about the police. It's unclear. Claimant seeks damages as a result of an alleged assault by a city employee at the claimant's property. So it could just be some other city employee. The other two is one by the First Amendment Rights Preservation Society from something that happened in December of last year, a claim of $1,200,000. Wow. Claiming damages for alleged violation of constitutional rights related to his arrest and an alleged street protest, which sounds definitely like it's about the police department. And then there's a third complaint by Ronald Chinitz, which happened in just recently, this month, June 8th, for $24,850, claiming damages related to auctions by Parks and Rec Department. Now, that could be something as, you know, specific as problems with a tree or unrelated to police, you know, falling down on misbehavior that, well, negligence of some kind, or it could be a Parks and Rec official causing damages through inappropriate behavior in a park where the Parks Department has been in the past recruited by the police department, and that seemed to be happening again, as I recall, in one of the council meeting one or two or three meetings ago. I'm not sure. I don't have the specifics directly in hand for that. So also on the consent agenda, the first two items are key resolutions 13 and 14. And I remind you, the consent agenda is something the public now no longer has any access to discussing except cramming any and all discussion of all 39 items, or actually it's not 39 items. They're numbered up to 39, but the actual one is 26 items. That's a lot of items on the consent agenda, and a lot of money is being quickly transferred from here to there, which I'm not getting into because, one, I haven't got the time, and two, I don't have the expertise. Probably three, I don't have the interest, but somebody should be looking at that. Anyway, there's resolutions 13 and 14, numbered 13 and 14, are actually 1 and 2 on the first consent agenda, are extend the emergency declaration in connection with the COVID pandemic by 60 days. And then it also extends a local emergency declaration in connection with the CZU August Lightning Complex fire by 60 days. And this is the second one about the fire is significant and seems to have some relation to, I don't know, real needs with the possibility of being a very dry season and there being a chance of another fire. But it also, of course, fits nicely in with the runabout of the Poganip plans of the city, which seem to be, that's what's being suggested, I believe, by some quiet voices who are sort of emerging from inside the city bureaucracy, unconfirmed, but troublesome. And then the declaration, the general emergency declaration, the significant item, the first one, which extends the city manager's powers, it sounds like, although it doesn't mention him by name, although I'll look at the actual text and let's take a look. So the way it reads, during a declared emergency, the city manager, acting as the city's emergency services director, is empowered to take various actions in response to the emergency, including the making and issuing of, quote, rules and regulations in matters reasonably related to the protection of life and property as affected by such emergency, subject to ratification by the city council at the earliest practicable time, but not required, but subject to it. It doesn't indicate it's required anyway. It would extend the emergency declaration by 60 days to August 21st, and otherwise it was due to expire on June 26th. And this is significant, of course, because it gives us Martine Bernal or his successor, and since he's retiring or says he is, that may be Lee Butler or somebody else dragged in or seduced in or bribed in or just, you know, wants to get a nice profitable job. We all do in these times if we're living under this system. And gives them a lot more power, and the power they have sort of seems to circumvent laws and seemingly even potentially constitutional practices, even though that can be held in check by the courts. If you find an attorney and if you find a judge who isn't co-opted either as what some of us call shit liberals or Trump conservatives. Now, those, if you put those two together, they make up a pretty large number, I think, of jurists and politicians and people in positions of political power. So it doesn't look terribly optimistic from my perspective, although again, I'm giving you an impression rather than a really itemized and documented conclusion. And item 20 in the consent agenda, again, the consent agenda is all voted on with one big vote, unless a council member pulls an item off the agenda. Now, you can beg and plead and ask and lobby to get an item taken off the consent agenda to be individually discussed and voted on. You can actually then talk about it individually for 2 minutes instead of trying to cram it along with, I don't know, 23 other items together if you're a person who likes to talk about a lot of these things. If you can get through on the Zoom, of course, which is can be a problem if you're, and if what you can say can be heard by either the council and or by the community, which often gets broken up by the transmission system or did last council meeting. And, of course, if they pay any attention to you, which didn't happen even when they were holding non-Zoom meetings, I found generally. But that's, representative so-called democracy in Santa Cruz. I don't think it exists until, of course, we create it. Anyway, item 20 talks about maintaining emergency ordinance to extend the seizure of the sidewalks by the businesses in downtown Pacific Avenue and elsewhere in town. And you might say, wasn't that nice? You know, it's very sweet for the tourists and very nice for people who have money. And it certainly is. I like sitting outside and relaxing and, you know, and sipping my wine and cheese and all that sort of thing. But this is the same sidewalk where if you sit down on the sidewalk as a homeless person, you'll get between $100 and $200 ticket, or would. And that law is still in the books and is still usable by the police. So that's item 20, essentially giving away large public spaces to businesses without providing alternate spaces for people other than a crowded benchlands area. And that may be gone, too, when the June 29th court decision comes down and gets reexamined, the injunction protecting the benchlands. Although the fact that there is a continued emergency declaration being declared by the city council specifically for COVID suggests that at least they think, or they're using as a pretext, that COVID is an important thing to consider. Maybe the judge, Susan Van Coolen, a federal magistrate, will consider that as well, provided Anthony Prince actually works it into his papers. But again, tomorrow is the last day to file his papers. The homeless members haven't had a lot of access, at least I haven't, to Anthony Prince, though frankly I haven't tried, because the last time I tried to talk to him, he insisted he would not talk to me. And he also, one of his subordinates suggested I was not a member of the union, though I think she's thought better of it since. That's talking about Alicia Cool. But what can I say? I don't know quite what her perspective is, except that she doesn't show up at Union of the Homeless meetings except distantly. And she's under a lot of pressure for a lot of reasons, so I don't want to simply beat her up on this stuff. But I don't like the way the Union of the Homeless is proceeding internally, but I certainly want to support them externally in terms of the attempt to keep going with the benchlands as a homeless community. Something that I think our old friend Brent Adams should realize, but doesn't. That he wouldn't be in the position he's in the benchlands if there weren't an injunction secured by the Union of the Homeless and secured by the work of people like Keith McHenry and Alicia Cool and Anthony Prince. Anyway, there's also other stuff that I haven't been able to examine on this consent agenda. Item 21, council policy additions and revisions to existing policies. It may be just sort of technical stuff that isn't extremely relevant, but unfortunately I'm under time pressure. I'm taking a quick look at it to see what the changes are, if I can look at it. It has to do, I think, with appropriations and money, which I tend to shy away from, though it's really key to a lot of this stuff. And I remember when Drew Glover used to hold, one of the only council members to hold his sessions right before the city council meeting, so that the public could weigh in with him, express their concerns, and get him, use him as a sort of a speaking device to express their concerns. Money was an important issue for him, and of course, it is. Then we have this resolution to extend the fee portion of the abandoned vehicle abatement fee program. This is the more money to the likes of Joe Habe and Deborah, whose last name immediately escapes me, but she's the person, well, actually she's on my wall over here, so I can tell you what her name is. Deborah Elston. I have a list of all these so-called volunteer community police officers who run around harassing people in their vehicles, claiming they're abandoned when they're not, and causing more problems for folks who are poor than they already have. We've talked about that before. That's item 26 on the consent agenda. You can call in on any of these items if you go to the City Council's website, but, you know, it can be difficult. But in theory, they're supposed to let you in. To say, don't do this, spend the money on actually helping people rather than trying to squeeze money out of people who don't have it and drive them out of town based on the prejudices of police departments and neighborhood bigots. Then once you get through the consent agenda, you get to the public hearing, a second reading of an ordinance that amends the municipal code to essentially criminalize or severely restrict protests. which is, I think, very ominous. Whenever I see this, I've seen this coming up in the past, I would usually speak out against it, try to encourage other people to do the same, and if such ordinances ever pass, simply ignore them and reassert constitutional rights for the right to use First Amendment-protected activity and just do what you need to do. If you have more than 25 people, it's a little unclear whether that's crossing at an area or just in your protest generally. You're supposed to, if you're committing an infraction, if you walk in the street. Well, that's very interesting, unless you get a permit. And, of course, getting a permit requires going through a process, making getting the okay of the very city you may be protesting. So it's contradictory to start with. It's I think it's unconstitutional, but the Constitution is in the hands of judges who have, regardless of what you may remember from the good old days of the Warren Court in the 60s, it's in the hands of class-biased, racist justices, sexist justices, people who are, shall we say, not to be trusted with your life blood if you are poor, female, black, brown, and numerous other categories that don't involve having a certain amount of wealth and power and the right, of course, to hire an attorney to even argue your case. And then items 43 and 44 talk about changing, first of all, taxing and then changing election times to the odd off election years. So instead of doing it at the time when there'll be state and national elections, when you get the benefit of, I would call them to some extent the shit liberal Democrats, but they also have an impact on somewhat liberalizing local races. Of course, they also walk away in times of distress, hence Glover and Crone got screwed on the recall. But nonetheless, if an election is held on the odd years, as they want there to be an election in November 2021, and they're doing this, they're creating this change at a time when it's not being discussed at all, it's going to be rammed through as item 44 and item 43 is a related item. Then at 6 o'clock, there's an evening session. First item is a downtown library site, shovel it under the garage, which my old buddy Stephen Kessler doesn't like. He also doesn't like me, and I don't even know who he is on a personal basis, but he writes editorials for the Santa Cruz Sentinel. He's written a lot of editorials I agree with around the library, and I'm glad he's written them. But the library project is proceeding apace, and this is their latest report. Item 45, the first item on the 6 o'clock evening agenda. Actually, the first item is oral communications, where you can talk for 2 minutes if she lets you and doesn't decide she wants to cut everything down to 1 minute or a minute and 30 seconds or whatever. Actually, I don't think that Donna Myers has done that with oral communications, but she has done it with more important items like the get the homeless out of town as fast as possible camping ban restoration, which she claims she put a lot of time into discussing or providing public comment on, but actually there's very little. Lots of show, lots of chatter, like her previous mayors have done, whether we're talking about Watkins or any of the previous Terrazas. They claim to be talking a lot about housing. That's what they do. They talk a lot about it. And what they don't do anything about it unless, of course, they're moving to please the anti-homeless crowd that's either in the Seabright area or in the Harvey West area or wherever it happens to be. And then the last item on the agenda is an update on recent council direction related to homelessness and camping services and standards. This is usually done under the city manager's report, and I forgot to mention that, which I usually do. City manager's report comes at the beginning of the agenda, which at this time is around 11:30 in the morning, after the proclamations and the presentations, Parks and Rec Month, Fire Readiness Awareness Day, Dennis Kid Day. I assume they meant, I guess they don't mean Dennis Etler. They wouldn't do that. An annual climate action update. And then you have the, pretty close soon after that, number 11 is the city manager's report. And that's usually when you get the homelessness report. For some reason, they're shoveling it back to the end of the agenda. And there is that. That's item 46, the last item. And that's it for the dismal situation for the Santa Cruz City Council's Tuesday, June 22nd meeting, starting at 8:30 in the morning with the closed session, which you can talk on for 2 minutes before they go into closed session, and then continuing at 11:30, I think it is, yeah, 11:30, I believe it is, and then again continuing at 6 o'clock for the evening session. And that's what I've got pretty much for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We'll go out on a final song in Spanish, since we are not as bilingual as we're supposed to be. It's called Paz y Libertad, which is peace and liberty. And my Spanish sucks, so I'm not going to bother to try to translate it line by line. Plus, I'm under time constraints. But here that is. But again, the usual goodbye information. Call me at 831-423-4833. That's the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line. If you have any questions, comments, criticism, or information you want to provide that relates to what the subjects I'm talking about, the show comes out twice a week, Thursday evenings and Sunday mornings. And so, again, 423-4833, and I will get to you. We also meet. We'll be meeting in the Benchlands Thursday at 11 o'clock. I think we're going to show up a little early, 10:30 a.m. We're going to distribute some leaflets, and then we're also going to show up at the benches between the county building and the Benchlands, which is hopefully will be in the shade and not be too hot. So thanks for listening if you've been doing that, and if you haven't, get out there and do some talking of your own. And we'll have to postpone the music until next time.